Hello, welcome to High Cheese with Darren Maloney. Today is Friday, May 20th, 2022. And I want to go right to the primaries from this past Tuesday. And Trump had a good night, in spite of what the mainstream media says. Trump endorsed 26 candidates. Two of them lost, and one is a tie right now with Dr. Oz. So he went 23-2-1. That's a good record. That's the record of a championship boxer. So I don't want to hear any of this from the mainstream media. Said, oh, Trump doesn't have his power. And again, this is, I'm going to get into this later about Trump and his relationship with MAGA and MAGA's relationship with Trump. But that's later on today. In particular, I want to go to Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is going to be an extremely important state in 2024, and it's extremely important that both the Republicans win the governor's seat as well as the Senate seat. In particular, I want to start off with Doug Mastriano, the Trump-endorsed candidate that the Democrats are afraid of. The Democrats fear Doug Mastriano. Now, Mastriano won without the support of the regular Republicans. The regular Republicans were represented by Lou Barletta and Jake Corman. And Jake Corman, late in the election, dropped out of the race and endorsed Lou Barletta because they were seeing Mastriano surging in the polls and they needed to do something about Mastriano. I'll talk about that later, but the Democrats fear Mastriano. Mastriano is a Christian. Mastriano talks about his religion. He's not afraid of his religion. And he's very good on the issues. He's a lieutenant colonel, retired lieutenant colonel, has a number of degrees. And I like him too because he was born in New Jersey. I think he was born in New Brunswick, which is maybe 45 minutes to an hour from where I am. But the Democrats fear Mastriano. And I've always said is that you have to, anytime a Democrat talks, you have to believe the opposite of what they're saying. Because you have all these talking heads here, and you have people from the Shapiro campaign saying, oh, we want to run against Mastriano. We want to run against Doug Mastriano. He's going to guarantee us a victory. Oh, really, Shapiro? So why were you running ads in the Republican primary against Mastriano? If you wanted him to win, why were you running attack pieces against Mastriano? You must fear him. You do fear him. Let me just read here from Yahoo News. It says, if, and this is before the election, it says, if Mastriano is nominated, that would be a gift for Josh Shapiro, J. Miles Coleman, the associate editor of Sabato's Crystal Ball at the University of Virginia Center of Politics. We would move Pennsylvania from toss-up to leans Democrat. They've already pulled out the guns for Mastriano at this point. And the media is already in on this. They must have got their marching orders from the Democratic Party. And let me just read you an article. This came out on Thursday, and it's in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And it's some writer, Tony Norman. And the headline says, Onward Christian Nationalists Marching Off to War. And then they got a picture of Mastriano next to it. Let me read a little of it. In my heart of hearts, I don't believe newly minted GOP gubernatorial nominee Doug Mastriano has a snowball's chance in a burning hell of being elected Pennsylvania's next governor. Now, I've been around long enough. When you see that as your first, in your first paragraph, first sentence of first paragraph, you're worried. You're afraid that Mastriano is going to win. Simply put, State Senator Doug Mastriano is a theocrat and unapologetic one at that. And he goes on to give a definition of a theocrat. He says, a theocrat is an advocate of a system of government in which priests rule in the name of God or gods. So what he's trying to do, he's already trying to frame Mastriano as some religious fanatic, when we all know he has normal Christian values. And this is the problem with the press. You're an extremist when you're a Christian. And this is why we are going to win. This is why Mastriano is going to win. Because, quite frankly, Mastriano is on God's side. And the media hates that. The Democrats hate that. But God doesn't hate it. This writer goes on to say, it isn't a pretty word, especially to folks who value the separation of church and state. See, here's the problem that these atheists try to make, these atheists in the press, these secularists in the press. They believe that religious people should not be elected officials. There's no room for religious people in government. And Christians, as a matter of fact. I think it was like 7 or 8 episodes ago, I did a piece on how the government and the media is trying to call Christians a terrorist group. And this just continues this. So they cannot have Mastriano win. They have to beat him at all costs. And then this writer goes on to say that if Mastriano wins, and because Mastriano's religious values are rooted in the Old Testament, now he's a Christian. As Christians, we understand that the Bible is made of the Old Testament, New Testament. But this, I got to say, this dumb writer. And let me just read this. It says, think about the absurdity of an American theocracy. Abortion under all circumstances would be outlawed. But Old Testament law would allow you to kill your rebellious teenager for disobeying you. You can also put the women, children, and unborn babies of the enemy to death, in particularly grisly ways during a wartime. This sounds a lot harsher than Roe v. Wade. So Doug Mastriano, to this writer, I got to say his name again. His name is Tony Norman. And this is an absolutely absurd article, just written by a guy that just cannot think. So Doug Mastriano believes in God. He has a strong belief in God. And because of that, he's going to allow parents to put their kids to death. Totally absurd. And Mr. Norman, you want to see a real theocracy? Take a look at Iran. That's being run by the mullahs. That's a theocracy. Doug Mastriano running for governor of Pennsylvania is not going to create a theocracy. So here's what has to be done for Mastriano to win. Luke Barletta, Jake Corman have to coalesce around Mastriano. They have to bury the hatchet. They have to realize that the rhinos did not win in Pennsylvania, and they have to coalesce around Mastriano. Now, that could be a problem, but I think Luke Barletta can take care of this. Now, Luke Barletta came in second place, but you have to understand, Luke Barletta was also a Trump backer, too. He backed Trump very early in his campaign for president, and he has ties, clearly, with the rhinos in Pennsylvania. So Barletta is going to have to take the lead and bring the rhinos in around Mastriano. And that can be done. But it's going to be a long race. So a lot's going to happen and it's going to be fun. Now, I also want to talk about Dr. Oz. Apparently, Dr. Oz, I think, is going to pull this out. He's winning at this point. I think there's split, a 1,000-point difference between the two, and I think they're just counting provisional ballots, and they have military ballots to count. And at this point, it would be hard for Oz not to win, just the sheer numbers that are left and where he is. He's up 1,000 points. But with that said, there's going to be a recount. So expect a recount on this. Expect a lot of noise, but it appears that Oz is going to win, and that'll be a victory for Trump. Now, I just want to talk about what needs to be done for Oz to win. Now, I know Oz wasn't the perfect candidate, but Oz is going to need Kathy Barnett to win. And I think if there was one mistake she made was saying that she wasn't going to support the Republican candidate in the event that she lost. I think that really hurt her. But what she can do is if she could reconsider this and campaign with Dr. Oz. Because I really think, and I think Kathy's an interesting candidate. She would have, where she has appeal in both rural areas and inner city areas. Because of what she stands for, she brings out the rural vote. But I think because she's African-American too, there could be some appeal in Philadelphia, in Pittsburgh also. It can help pull out some of the African-American vote for the Republicans, or at least for Dr. Oz. So I hope that she reconsiders not supporting Dr. Oz, because that would be really helpful. Now, I still think in my last episode, I mentioned that on the Democratic side, Fetterman, because of his health issues, are going to give the Democrats two bites at the apple. As his campaign progresses, there will be constant polling. And if Fetterman is not polling well, they'll make a decision behind the scenes to use his health as a way to get him to drop out of the race and then replace him with another candidate. I think that's a distinct possibility. As long as if they think he's tanking in the polls, they'll replace him. They'll blame it on his health and they'll replace him. So we shall see. Now, while we're on the subject of Pennsylvania, I just want to thank Pennsylvania for having constitutional gun laws. And I was just reading an article from this psychopath up in Buffalo that shot all those poor people up. And one of the reasons, there were several reasons, but one of the reasons that he picked New York to do this is because of their strict gun control laws. And I was plotting where Conklin is. This is the area where this kid lived, Conklin, New York. And it's not far from Pennsylvania. And I have friends and family in Pennsylvania. And I was looking at the map of Harrisburg. And I noticed that Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, is closer to Conklin, New York, than Buffalo is to Conklin, New York. And I thought that, well, he made a point that it was close, the closest place with a high number of African Americans. So I thought if he really wanted to get a place that was closer, there was always Harrisburg. And then I thought, well, why didn't he pick Harrisburg? Maybe it's because of you have concealed carry here. And also residents have the ability to carry AR-15s. So I really do think that the people of Pennsylvania were saved from this psychopath because of the Pennsylvania constitutional gun laws. New York has the strict gun laws, and you have to understand, the bullies always hit up the weakest people. And instead of looking at having more gun laws, you should start thinking about cutting the gun laws back up in New York State. Because the kid apparently said it in his manifesto that the strict gun laws in New York State were a contributing factor to him shooting up those poor people up in Buffalo. Okay, let's lighten this up for a couple of minutes. I'm going to play a clip of Joe Biden, and let me just play it, and then we'll come back and discuss.
Strategy to mobilize true international effort to pressure.
So I must have listened to this 10 or 15 times, and I still have absolutely no idea what he's talking about. I don't think he does either, but I have no idea what he's talking about. Now, he's on a trip to Asia today, and I think today's Friday, and he's visiting South Korea. My concern is that his gibberish may be interpreted as an aggressive act against North Korea. Or will his gibberish be interpreted by China in a belligerent way? And again, these are all the dangers of having an incoherent fool as a president. I'm sorry to say it, but you can't call him anything else. He's an incoherent fool. His policies have seriously damaged this country. And who knows what he's capable of doing in Asia. Okay, I just want to go back to this shooting up in Buffalo again. And I'm going to play a clip, and it's from CNN. Occasionally, they do these little vignettes on topics. And I think they've been sitting on this vignette, and they've been waiting for some crazy white kid to shoot up a place in order to release this thing. So let me play this, and I'll tell you, CNN is trying its hardest to pin this Buffalo shooting on MAGA. And let me just play it, and then we'll come back and discuss.
This is, of course, rooted in America's original sin of slavery. All right, Sarah, let's start with you. How do you see white identity politics influencing our national political debates?
It's become a very outsized influence. There is this sense among many voters who voted, for example, for Donald Trump, that white folks are becoming victims in this country. Can I just mention something about one of the slogans used in politics that really worked? One used by former President Donald Trump. And the slogan is, "Make America Great Again."
They are trying. Thank God they're so dumb that they don't realize that they're so out of line. Now, essentially what they're trying to say is that MAGA is, they're racist. MAGA caused the shooting of Buffalo, which is the farthest from the truth. And like they always say, there's no evidence of that. Here's the evidence. The evidence is, a poll just came out yesterday or today. It's a Quinnipiac poll. And Joe Biden has a 60% disapproval rating with the Hispanic community. 60%. Really? And this is what MAGA is made of. MAGA is made up of white, black, Hispanic, Asian, middle class, and working class people. And they don't get it. Or they can't accept that narrative because it clearly undercuts their position of power. So they have to keep a narrative going that we're all racist and you need to tune into the Democratic Party and the mass media and we'll guide you. We'll keep you away from those bad MAGA people. Well, they ain't buying it. The polls say they're not buying it. Blacks are leaving the Democratic Party, particularly black men. Latinos have left. Democrats are in a state of panic because it's such a mass exodus from the Democratic Party. So if MAGA's racist, you're not getting Hispanics. You're not getting blacks coming to your party. But look, they're just too dumb. I've came to the conclusion that they are just too dumb at CNN to realize this. They can't think of anything else. They're not creative enough to think of anything else. So they go back to the playbook about race. Everything's about race. Let's see what the Communist Manifesto says about race. Let's see what Karl Marx says about race. And let's use this. How did the Bolsheviks get into power in Russia in 1917? Let's use that playbook. Let's use the Chinese playbook. How did the communists get in China? Let's use that playbook. And that's what CNN, that's what MSNBC, that's the playbook. But the American people are not buying it. Now, I want to switch you to an article by Peggy Noonan. It's in the Wall Street Journal. It's an opinion she put in a couple days ago. And Peggy Noonan, she's a Republican. She's a country club Republican. You know, sometimes she's good, sometimes she's bad. Just did some advice. She talks in a condescending way, and I don't find it very helpful to her position when she talks in a condescending way to people. But she's a good writer. And let me just read the opinion, and the headline says, "Donald Trump and his elusive base." A couple of things I just want to point out from this article. And I highly recommend that you read it. And it's in the first paragraph. It says, "The most heartening thing for Republicans in the past few weeks' primaries, what carries the most long-term significance, was pointed out by the political scientist Yasha Monk. He says, it's surprisingly good at building a multi-faith and multi-racial coalition," Mr. Monk said. "Democrats better take note of this." Well, it's too late. So we're racist, but all the numbers are saying we're not. Keep it up, CNN. Keep it up. You're just talking your way into oblivion. And then the interesting thing I find also about the article is that she gets into the relationship between Trump and MAGA. Now, I've always said, I think since my second or third episode, that MAGA is bigger than Trump. And Trump realizes this. So what Peggy Noonan is doing in the article is she's trying to, I think she does a pretty good job at it. She's trying to show us the balancing act between Trump leading MAGA and Trump listening to MAGA, which is what a good leader should do. But I'm not quite sure that the mainstream media realizes that, because none of them have any concept of leadership, because they're all programmed people. They're all people that have done everything by rote. They'll say things, they don't understand what they mean, but they'll say it, and that's how they've been trained. So in the op-ed, Noonan writes that Maggie Haberman, she's a writer, I think she's with the New York Times, she's a liberal writer, she had made a comment that Mr. Trump is increasingly appearing to chase his supporters as much as marshaling them. And to me, that's a great relationship. That's what you want. You want your leaders to lead, but they have to listen to you. So all this talk from CNN and the mainstream media about MAGA being racist, MAGA causing this psychopath to shoot up Buffalo, it's just not working. It's not. Give it up. Quit. Well, George Bush just endorsed the Ukrainian war. So it must be right. We must be doing the right thing. George Bush says it's the right thing. So I'm going to go to a clip. I guess Bush was speaking, I think, at his library to some organization. I don't know what organization it was. But let me just play the clip, and then we'll come back and discuss.
Russian elections are rigged. Political opponents are imprisoned or otherwise eliminated from participating in the electoral process. The result is an absence of checks and balances in Russia and the decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Ukraine.
Boy, talk about a Freudian slip. And from a policy standpoint, this should be a kiss of death. You've got the endorsement of this fiasco by the president who made arguably the biggest blunder of any president in U.S. history, the Iraqi war. And I don't know, I find it also ironic. Earlier in the clip, he mentions about Russia having fake elections, imprisoning opponents. Kind of sounds what's going on here today. And with that said, the Senate passed a $40 billion bill yesterday for Ukraine. So we can't get baby formula here. We can't get a reasonable price for gasoline here, but we're giving away $40 billion to Ukraine with money that we don't have, that we're going to have to borrow for. It's a vicious cycle. These people don't think. On the positive note, there were 11 Republicans that voted against the $40 billion for Ukraine. It's not enough, but there were 11. And just a note, as I said before, Ukraine's coming back for more. And we put Ukraine in a position that they can never win. They will not be able to beat Russia. But we're giving them just enough to get people killed. Just to weaken Russia. That's the American position. We just want to weaken Russia at the expense of the Ukrainian people. And I think Zelensky's loving this situation. He gets to go on these Zoom videos with all these assemblies throughout the world. He gets to talk to Hollywood people. I think he's scheduled to address the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab and company. So this is great for him. Let's keep this going. I get to be on TV all the time. Meanwhile, my people are getting killed. And we're feeding him, but Europe's not. I think we've put in 3 or 4 times more than Europe combined to Ukraine. Okay, I have some breaking news that just came out. A U.S. judge blocks plan to lift COVID border restrictions for migrants. And it says here, U.S. authorities cannot immediately proceed with plans to lift pandemic restrictions that empowered U.S. agents at the Mexico border to turn back migrants without a chance to seek asylum, a Louisiana-based judge said on Friday. And essentially what this does is that the Biden administration was going to allow Title 42 to expire on May 23rd, and a number of states have sued that decision. And what this judge has done is issued an injunction which prevents Title 42 from expiring until this has been litigated. So that's good news. That's very good news. And we shall see on that one. Additionally, the other item that came out earlier today is that Robbie Mook, the campaign manager for Hillary for president, testified at the Sussman trial today that Hillary Clinton knew that the fake Russia information was being sent to the press. She essentially signed off on it. So we're going to see what happens with this. I'll tell you one thing. I've been watching this. My wife has been following this, and we've got great resources for following what's been going on with this Sussman case by Durham. And it's not looking good for Sussman. And if there's a way for him to cut a deal and testify against some other people, he should consider that, because A, he's going to lose, and B, he's going to do time. I cannot see him not doing time unless he's related to the judge that's going to sentence him. So that's where we are on this, and so we shall see. Okay, one last item before we turn to the markets. The Roman Catholic Archbishop of San Francisco has ordered priests in the archdiocese to deny House Speaker Nancy Pelosi the sacrament of communion because of the California Democrat support for abortion rights. Archbishop Salvatore Cordeleone moved to bar Pelosi from receiving the Eucharist in churches in her home district comes as the Supreme Court is expecting within weeks to overturn the constitutional right to abortion embodied in the 49-year-old court decision Roe v. Wade. And I'm quoting the Archbishop. It says here, after numerous attempts to speak with Speaker Pelosi to help her understand the grave evil she is perpetuating, the scandal she is causing, and the danger to her own soul she is risking, I have determined that she is not to be admitted to Holy Communion, Cordeleone wrote in a tweet. And Pelosi was unavailable for comment. Well, it's good to see the Catholic Church starting to take a stand on this, particularly with elected officials. I think maybe they should consider doing the same thing for Biden in his archdiocese. So we shall see. Okay, let's switch to the markets. Now, the markets are finally realizing that we're headed for a recession. There's just no easy way out of the predicament that the Fed has put this country in. Now, we had terrible earnings from two retail giants, Target and Walmart. And I think at one point, Target was trading down 25% this week. And then also on existing home sales, we had, it says here, sales of previously owned homes fell in April to the lowest pace since the COVID pandemic started, according to the National Association of Realtors. Existing home sales declined 2.4% compared with March to a seasonally adjusted annualized rate of 5.61 million, the group said. Sales were 5.9% lower than in April of 2021. That is the slowest rate since June 2020, which was artificially slow since the economy was struggling with sweeping shutdowns due to the coronavirus. Now, I've been saying over the past few episodes, if you're looking to buy a home, wait. If you sit back and wait, there's two things that are going to happen. People are going to start putting more and more homes on the market, and it's going to increase the supply, as well as developers are going to continue building new homes. So the longer you wait, supply is going to build up. So time is on your side. And again, hold on. If you have to rent for another year, pay the rent, even though in some areas they're higher than usual, because you'll get a better deal the longer you wait. That's just my advice. So with that said, let's go to the markets. Okay, let me just read it. And this is from CNBC. It says, rising recession fears push U.S. stocks briefly into bear market territory on Friday, with the S&P 500's decline from its all-time high in January reaching 20% at one point. A dramatic late-day reversal pushed the benchmark slightly into the green for the day at the closing bell. Look, for the past 3-4 weeks, there's been tremendously wild swings in the market. Just tremendously wild swings. And again, that's not good for the market. The last time I saw such wild swings for an extended period of time was in 2008. Now, I'm not comparing the two, but these wild swings are not good for the market. It says here, the S&P finished 0.01% higher to 3901.36 after falling as much as 2.3% earlier in the session. Stocks are still liberally priced, and the psychology that drove them upwards for all longer than a decade has turned negative. Now, this guy hits the nail on the head. The only reason the stock market and housing has been going up over the past 10 years is because we've had artificially low rates. And let me just repeat what this gentleman says. His name is George Ball. He's chairman of the investment firm Sanders Morris Harris. I've never heard of him, but he does make a very, very smart observation. He goes, stocks are still liberally priced, and the psychology that drove them upward for a decade has turned negative. So as much as our assets have been pumped up because of low interest rates that have been artificially produced by the Fed, we're now having a reversal of that because the Fed is now raising interest rates, getting things back to normal. So there's two things that are going to be impacted, your stock market and your housing. And at least this guy fesses up to it. Because over these past 10 years, we've heard all these talking heads saying, well, market's going up because of this company, that company, this and that. And then we saw these PE ratios that were exorbitant. And everybody was trying to justify such high valuations on the stock over the past 10 years. And people fail to realize the only reason they're up is because of low interest rates, artificially low interest rates. And unfortunately, the law of gravity, what goes up must come down. The Dow Jones Industrial rose 8.77 points to 31,261.90 after being down more than 600 points today. The NASDAQ Composite fell 0.3% and is already in deep bear market territory, 30% off of its high. So the NASDAQ is down 30% off of its high. For the week, the Dow lost 2.9% for its first 8-week losing streak since 1923. The S&P lost 3% for the week, while the NASDAQ shed 3.8%, with both posting 7-week-long streaks. Look, this is going to continue. The Fed made a big mistake. It did not address inflation early as it should have. This whole transitory thing about inflation just wasn't true. And now the piper has to be paid. And this is going to go across other markets too. Let's take a look at crypto. Right now it's 8 o'clock on Friday evening on May 20th. Bitcoin's at trading right now at $29,204.24. Ethereum is trading at $1,958.40, and XRP is trading at 41 cents. Again, pain. Be ready for pain. Assets are going to deflate. And I don't see an end in sight right now, but we shall see. Now, with that said, I want to thank you for listening. You have a good weekend, and I will see you on Tuesday. Thanks again.